Good morning. And greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as Pastor Jim said, I'll be a little more antisocial than usual today. I'm not feeling well. So it's not you, it's me. Today we're continuing through our Lenten series through the Gospel of John. And we've been encouraging you, and especially in our grow groups, we've been encouraging folks to read through the Gospel of John as we go through this Lenten season. And I have good news for you if you haven't been doing that. If you start today, one chapter at a time, you'll finish on Easter. There's still time. And I do want to encourage you, go through the Gospel of John with us. Because God meets us in His Word. He works through the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And though I'm not feeling super well, and I may be a little less vigorous than is typical, that has nothing to do with the power of God's Word. And God is going to meet you here in it today. You see, the Gospel of John is considered the most theological of the Gospels. And that doesn't mean that there's not theology to be found in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, but that while Matthew, Mark, and Luke focus on what Jesus did and said, John often goes a step further and talks about the significance for the reader, for the hearer, for us, about what Jesus did and said, why it matters for us today. And that means that wherever you're at today, whether firm believer, curious, have questions, or even doubts, maybe you're someone who is not really sure you believe this Christianity stuff at all. Jesus wants to meet you here today with a message that is full of grace and truth. So today we're going to look at what Jesus says about himself in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John has what have come to be known as the seven I am statements of Jesus. Those are seven statements wherein he describes himself using figurative and metaphorical language, giving us a picture of who he is, but also how he is inviting us to be in relationship with him. But before we get into the seven I am statements of Jesus, we're going to look at John chapter 8 and the one I am statement of Jesus. You see, this is a crucially important text for us. And to see the words of Jesus in full force today in John chapter 8, we're going to look back at our Old Testament text from Exodus chapter 3. Where Moses encounters God in the burning bush. And as we do that, I want to invite you to open up your Bible, whether it's, you know, the Pew Bible in front of you to page 80, or if you brought a Bible yourself, to open up in the Bible and follow along in Exodus today. Because one of the interesting things about having a Bible or a scripture that is translated from Hebrew into English is that there are nuances in the Hebrew language that don't always have an equivalent in English. And so sometimes the translators are going to use formatting, punctuation, as a way of communicating theological nuances that are present in the original text. And Exodus chapter 3 is a great example of where that happens. So in Exodus 3, we see God come to Moses or call out to Moses from within this burning bush. Moses sees this bush that is burning but not burning up and thinks to himself, "This is strange. I'm going to see what's going on." As he approaches the bush, God says, "Moses, take off your sandals because you are approaching holy ground." And then he says, "Moses, I've seen the misery of my people. I've heard them cry out because of their suffering. And I'm coming to rescue." And at that, I would imagine that Moses is thinking to himself, all right, that's great. That is good news. I'm glad to hear that. And then God goes on and he says, now go, I am sending you. To which Moses responds in an incredibly relatable way. With his list of all of the excuses, here are all of the reasons why you shouldn't send me, God. Culminating in what I honestly think is one of the most relatable prayers in the entire Bible. One that if you're anything like me, you've said to God many times. Exodus 4:13, Lord, please send someone else. Right? But for Moses, he doesn't. Often for us. His first choice was the right choice, and he doesn't. So Moses lays out his excuses. He interrogates God a bit. And one of the questions that comes up in this conversation, Moses says, okay, God, suppose I go, hypothetical situation, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say, the God of your fathers has sent me. And they say, what is his name? What should I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now up here is the Hebrew for that word that gets translated I am. And in Hebrew it's pronounced Ehyeh, and it's an incredibly significant word. Because it only appears one time in the entirety of the Bible, and that is right in this passage. I am, once. And you might be thinking to yourself, that can't possibly be right, because the verb to be is one of the most common words in the English language, and when I read the Bible, I see it all over the place in the Old Testament. Well, you know, I read the entire Old Testament in Hebrew this last week in preparation for this sermon. It's only there once. That's a bad joke, right? No, Bible commentaries are fantastic. And here's what's happening there. If you were thinking to yourself, this word has to appear more than once. I read it everywhere in the scriptures. You're half right. But we have to go full grammar nerd to see what's going on here. Something I always appreciate being able to do. Yes, the words I am appear constantly in the Bible in verb form. But in Exodus 3:14, it is the one place in all of Scripture where I am appears as a noun. It appears as a person. God tells Moses, tell them, I am sent you. And he goes on to say, say this to the Israelites. The Lord has sent me. You know, often when we read that word Lord in the Bible, you see it with those, you know, the small capitals. That is a stand-in for this Hebrew word, which is pronounced Yahweh. It is related to the verb to be, but it is what God tells us is the personal name of God that he gives to his people to use for him. And if God's own name for referring to himself, Ehyeh, only appears once, Yahweh is the word that appears most commonly in the Old Testament. You see, God refers to himself as I am, and he tells his people, Israel, refer to me as Yahweh, or he is, or he will be. And in John chapter 8, as Jesus is speaking with the Jews, he does something that no God-fearing Jew would ever have dared to do. Something that in the mouth of an ordinary person would have been the height of blasphemy and worthy of death. Jesus uses the name that God uses to talk about himself, I am, to describe himself. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. He's making the explicit claim, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the Lord of all creation. And they pick up stones and try to kill him. In the Gospel of John, Jesus puts the choice before people over and over and over again. Believe in me for who I truly am, or reject me for it. We see plenty of both in the Gospels. But what Jesus says, what you cannot do is accept me for something that I'm not, for something that I never claimed to be. He says, you can't just say, you know, Jesus, you are such a great moral teacher. You're a wise man, because he didn't claim to be those things. He claimed to be God. He says, I'm not a good moral teacher. I am the source of good. I am not a wise person. I am the fount of all wisdom. I am the light and life of all mankind, the one through whom all things were made and through whom you will be saved. Jesus says, I am. And this is the I am statement of Jesus. That he himself is God, the personal God, come down from heaven, God from God, light from light, made man and dwelling among us. And then he gives us these seven I am statements, which are all grounded in the truth that Jesus himself is God. So what are those I am statements? You can see them right here. John 6:35, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 10:7, I am the gate for the sheep. 10:11, I'm the good shepherd. 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. 15:1, I'm the true vine. Seven I am statements. Statements about the identity of Jesus. They tell us something true about Jesus. They tell us what our God is actually like. Now, I'm not going to go through and elaborate on each of those ones today. You know, don't worry. I don't have 7 points left. but I do want to touch on a few. Jesus says, I'm the gate for the sheep in John 10. He says that everyone who enters through me will find salvation, will find abundant life. And what good news that is for us who live in a world that is clawing and grasping, searching for meaning and purpose and abundance wherever we can think to find it, all the while living in fear and with a scarcity mindset that there might not be enough good to go around for everyone. And into this fear, Jesus speaks words of life. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you would have life and have it to the full. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He says, I know that there's a lot of darkness in this world. And I see you in the midst of your darkness. And yet I am a light that shines in the darkness, and it is a light that darkness cannot overcome. Because even the deepest darkness is powerless against the smallest spark of light. This is who our Lord is. And as you read through the Gospel of John along with us this Lent, I want to encourage you, as you come across these I am statements of Jesus, to stop, to pause, to meditate, and to pray over the question, what is this telling me is true about Jesus? And ask God, Lord, if these things are true, what does that mean for my life? You see, these statements just don't tell us true things about Jesus. They also invite us to relate to him in particular ways, to be in relationship with him. Each one is an offer of love and grace to us. You see, when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, he says, come to me and have your fill and be satisfied. When he says, I'm the good shepherd, he says, so you can trust and follow me. I will lead you and guide you in love and power. When Jesus says, I'm the true vine, he invites us to find life, purpose, and rest as we abide in him. When Jesus says who he is also telling us who we are. He is the good shepherd. We are his sheep. We know his voice. And he knows our names. He is the true vine. We are the branches. You know, I often tell you that I preach one-point sermons. So if you're wondering what it is today, here it is. This is what I hope you take away from today. Because Jesus is God, he can be all of this for us. Because we can trust the I am statements of Jesus, because the I am statement of Jesus is true. Jesus has the power and the authority to do what he says he will do and to be who he says he is. He has the power and the authority. When he says, I am the resurrection and the life, he can say that because he is the author of life and the one who conquered death on our behalf and then offers it to us. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he extends to us both the invitation and the challenge to follow him and see what new life, abundant life, and eternal life are all about. The question at the heart of the Gospel of John, do you believe in the Word made flesh, in God come to dwell among us in Jesus Christ? And the question at the heart of the I am statements of Jesus, do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? And will you find life in his name? Will you find life in the one who is himself the great I am, the light of the world, the way, the truth, the life, the true vine, the good shepherd, the bread of life, the gate for the sheep, the resurrection and the life? Come to meet us here today. When you were baptized, he called you his own, said, you're my child. When you come to the altar for communion, he gives himself wholly to you, his body broken and his blood shed. Eat and be satisfied. Enter and find salvation. Abide and bear fruit. Fix your eyes on the light of the world, a light that shines in the darkness that the darkness cannot overcome. John 20, 31 says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Will you believe? And in believing, will you find life in his name? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, your Son who comes to us and offers himself to us as all we need. Lord, for those of us who are living under the oppression of darkness, he is the light of the world. For those of us looking for purpose and meaning and coming up feeling empty, he is the bread of life. Those who are living under the shadow of death, he is the resurrection and the life. Lord, for us who wander, he is the way. The way for us. And so we praise you. We worship you, and we believe in the one you sent. Amen. Please stand.